You are light of the world. We celebrate you this Sunday morning. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your joy that you give us today. Pray now that you bless the Sunday school teachers, the children as they go downstairs. Thank you so much for our children. They are such a blessing to us. They remind us of the innocence of joy that we celebrate. In their eyes, we see the sparkle as they see presents, as they see the Christmas tree. But Lord, we want them more to enjoy you. So we pray this morning that as they look at these outward things, that they would know that they have a gift beyond measure in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We pray that their eyes will sparkle even more in way of your grace, in way of your mercy, in way of your joy that you establish in their hearts and lives. Thank you this morning that we can be together as your church. We pray upon us your blessings, your anointing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being present here amongst us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Adults, you may be seated. Kids, you may be dismissed. Thank you for joining us this morning in our Sunday service. Thank you. Well, as we look and we think about this subject of joy this morning, to be sure, joy is closely related to our emotions. And this morning, as I think of this word joy, I find it very close to my own heart because my wife's middle name is Joy. Yeah. And my daughter's name is Gail, which means father's joy. So you can see I have a close relationship with joy this morning. And my middle name is John. But that doesn't have anything to do with joy. No, that's just because I told you their middle name, so I felt like, only fair that you know my middle name as well. Well, as we anticipate the sense of joy that God gives us during this Christmas season. We can, and maybe you've heard this too, in way of joy and happiness being differentiated. And I want to bring those back closer together because joy and happiness are really close cousins, you know. They're not so distant in way of understanding because joy is supposed to be an emotive emotion, right, that comes up and wells up within us. So both these words, happiness and joy, communicate feelings. Even the dictionary defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. A great feeling of joy and happiness and peace that comes over us, a contentment. Joy is also a sense of being overwhelmed in our emotions. Happiness, we can say, maybe is down here. Joy is way up here, right? It's just like over the top. It's an experience of just elation, euphoria that we experience in way of our emotions that are welled up. Of course, those emotions don't come easily to us. I think we can be quite staid in way of normalcy in our lives. We go through the processes, you know, of getting up in the morning, you know, wiping the sleep from our eyes. For us guys, you know, shaving. For the ladies, you know, brushing the hair, putting on some makeup, you know, all the rest of that, getting downstairs, eating your... You know, we all go through these routines. Of course, getting dressed. We need to get dressed in the morning. All those things that we do that kind of create this kind of monotone kind of existence and reality. But we want to know that there is great heights of elation and joy that we can experience as well. Well, when those angels came and sang to those shepherds of long ago, we read these words in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Do not be afraid. I bring you news that will cause great joy for all the people. Luke 2:10. This shook the early shepherds down to the core of their being. The sense of the messianic hope had come to roost, that it was real and that it was happening right there, right now. This was it. The joy, the euphoric joy, kind of bubbled up within them. They were going to experience this. Jesus was born for their salvation, for our salvation. And they exalted in that and celebrated that. I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 this morning, and understanding joy to us. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The salvation is described here as, first of all, a great mercy. A great mercy. There's a new birth that is birthed within us. There's a living hope, not a dead hope, a living hope. An inheritance that is eternal, that will never fade, that will never perish, that is ours. It's kept for us in heaven. Coming salvation. So in part, we receive salvation when we believe in Jesus, but there's a fullness of salvation that we are to expect. Okay, I'm looking across the audience here, and I see everybody kind of in that monotone kind of vein, right? The faces are not, with me this morning. You're kind of looking quite serious this morning. So this morning, I had to borrow some pom-poms from the girls, okay? So these were used in the children's choir. These were Christine's own pom-poms. I think they're homemade, or maybe they're store-bought, but you have to stand up with me this morning, okay? This is not... for joy, I think it's an emotion that has to be elicited, and when you go to those football games and those cheerleaders are trying to get the crowd, rile up the crowd, right? And usually they have pom-poms to get the crowd a little riled up, right? And so we're going to try a little cheer this morning. Are you ready for this? Give me a J!
J!
Okay, you just say J. I should have instructed you. You're not really keen, or maybe you haven't seen a lot of this cheerleading kind of stuff. But when the cheerleader says, give me a J, you just say J. You don't say, give me a J, okay? Okay, we'll try it again. Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me another S. And what do you spell?
Jesus!
Oh, you guys are sharp. Okay, sit down. Don't we have a lot of things that are trying to give us that emotional high, that euphoria, that joy, that high level that we speak of in our culture? And that's really... what the celebration of Christmas is. All the Christmas tree, the red poinsettias, the red shirt. You notice I wore my red shirt today. We're all trying to emote get that high level, that sense of euphoria that is spoken about, right? But all those things are pointing us back to Jesus, right? They're all pointing us to things that are immaterial, that we cannot see with the naked eye. But a lot of times we get so caught up in the outward externals that we lose sight of really what we are celebrating. Something that is of eternal worth, an inheritance, our salvation. This is what the scriptures are speaking to us of in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 that I just read for you this morning. Well, as we think of these things, we think of the stresses of our lives as well. We think of these mountaintop heights that we should be feeling but maybe not feeling during the Christmas season. We have a dull ache within our human soul to be enraptured again over and over again. Joy to all people, it says. I want to experience that deep joy. So in Christmas season, I got my plethora of different Christmas movies that I have to watch. Last night, I watched Charlie Brown's Christmas once again. You know, I always like that little guy that goes like this when he's dancing, you know. And, you know, there's certain things that kind of catch your attention, kind of buoys up your emotions. It's wonderful to have children around Christmas time because they can give you a more of a sense of joy, what it should truly be like when they see all the presents and the trees and the lights and everything else. And we kind of, as adults, kind of enter into their joy, don't we? Well, this morning I read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and following. It says there, "In all this you greatly rejoice." That talking about our inheritance, our salvation, all those things. "Though now for a little while you have had to suffer in all kinds of trials." The book of 1 Peter is really about encouraging the church, the early church who was going through a huge kind of persecution in those early days, difficulties and trials and sufferings. "These have come," verse 7, "these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So this morning we look at joy in dealing with grief and suffering, joy in the genuineness of our faith, and joy in receiving the end results. So first of all, joy in grief and suffering. Well, it's quite easy to get focused on the wrong thing when it comes to suffering and trials and difficulties and the monotony of life, isn't it? Sometimes we just focus right in there and all those difficulties, and we talk about our upcoming surgeries and our pains and the things that we're struggling with. You know, I, you know, got this limp now that just won't go away, and my left eye is kind of wandering a little bit, and I get these headaches, you know, and on the list goes, doesn't it? We can suffer so much bodily in our lives, and we can suffer in way of relationally. Things come to us that we aren't expecting in way of social media. We don't have our 5,000 friends anymore. We're down to 300. I mean, come on. Like, where are all my friends when I need them? All these kind of things, right? The social travesties and difficulties of our lives that we struggle with. And so our attention goes there, doesn't it? So easily. Because I tell you, when we're in pain, when we're suffering, you know, that's a big drawing card towards our focus. But yet, this morning I want to encourage you to draw your attention away from those kind of things, even though it's so difficult. We have to look past the what-ifs and blaming other people for our difficulties, or even blaming ourselves. You know, if I just didn't do that, if I had eaten better, or, you know, if I did more exercise, or, you know, if I just didn't say that on that social media site, oh, why? Could I have taken that back, right? And on the list goes. But for us, you know, when we think of the object of our joy this morning, we are encouraged to see the object of our joy as Jesus Christ and His salvation. What helps you brim with enthusiasm and excitement is what comes in way of the end result of all these things that we struggle with, isn't it? So we're always on a journey. And in that journey, we come to the end. So when we think of things like graduation, wow, we've gone through some pains and sufferings in way of our education to the point that we have finished the course, we've written all the final exams. So many of the students are involved with that right now. We've finished the final exams, and they're handing us the piece of paper, the diploma, putting the cap on our heads and saying congratulations. A lot of students look forward to that place of graduation, that end result, right? And then also marriage, the love, the dating relationship, the engagement, and then the actual marriage translates. Sometimes difficulties ensue with that relationship until the point that they say, we're committing our lives together forever. And then they join in marriage. And that's seen as a graduation sort of thing, a coming together, an ending in way of all that has gone before to the point that now we are living our lives together. And trip destinations. So all these things kind of give us a sense of bringing to a conclusion. And in way of salvation, in way of verse 5 here, it talks about salvation culminating. And we look forward to that culmination. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 27 that he runs the race to gain the prize. He runs the race to gain the prize. It's not to run the race, it's just to run the race. No, the race is for the sake of the prize, the end result. And herein, in our text today, the end result is our complete salvation. Well, griefs and sufferings are the means often of getting us to our place of destination. Distresses themselves have a part in getting us ready to enjoy the inheritance to the full possible measure. We don't know the fullness of joy if we don't understand that sorrows take us on a journey to arrive at our goal. There's pressures, there's all kinds of things that we have to go through until we reach our final goal. There's a far greater good. Christianity is a life of joy because we have a great and fail-safe future. A giant safety net that can't be missed. You know those trapeze artists in the circuses? They do flips and jump so high in the air. And you think, wow, they can do so many fantastic things. But the reason they can do so much in way of flips and spins and trying to catch each other is because below them there is this big safety net. And they know if they do miss or they fall, the net will be there to catch them. That is our salvation. So here it is. Present pain gives us greater gain to increase our future joy. Education comes via years of study. Fitness comes through training and nutrition. Joy comes through trial and sacrifice. Well, thirdly, pure joy takes a fire. God uses distresses of various kinds. We see in verse 7, these have come so that, it says in verse 7, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by a fire. The design is to refine the genuineness of our faith, the way gold is refined in a fire. the quality of faith will eventually win the prize of glory and honor. What would an education be without time and effort and study? What would fitness be if we saw it as just something easy? But no, because it's difficult, because it's something that people have to persist in and prevail over, there is a great sense of elation in the finality of it. John chapter 16, verse 21 says, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world." Hebrews 12, 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So in these understandings, Peter is telling the church, hey, church, you will be going through griefs and sufferings, but this is all in way of process for you to become a fuller in joy and celebration in that last day. Well, secondly, here, joy in the genuineness of our faith. In verse 8 and 9, we read these words. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith in the salvation of your souls." So here we see that we are to love Christ, believe in Christ, rejoice in Christ, and then know that we are receiving the salvation of our souls, experiencing, though never seeing, Christ in person. So we look back to those shepherds of long ago and see them coming to the manger scene. And when they saw the manger scene, it was a treasure to them. It was amazing treasure. And they opened up the treasure, and it was beautiful with diamonds and gold and all kinds of coins, and wow! They rejoiced in the treasure. How about us? How about us? This is the genuine Christianity, the real stuff. God is saving our souls and working in our hearts a love and confidence and a joy that is against the stream of secularism and godlessness and worldliness in this world in which we live. True Christianity is loving Christ and trusting Christ and enjoying Christ. The fact of the matter is that Christianity is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of those unseen things of joy in God. How unfortunate that people so often try and find the joy in Christmas celebration as just the material trappings of Christmas, rather than that of their salvation. Thirdly and lastly today, the joy is receiving the end result. The end result of our full salvation. We receive in part to our souls today in way of understanding the love of Christ, the trust in Christ, the rejoicing in Christ. What does that mean, loving Christ? It means experiencing Christ as precious in his character and his work on our behalf. Secondly, trusting Christ means experiencing Christ as reliable to his promises, that he promises us salvation. Thirdly, enjoying Christ means experiencing inexpressible and glorified joy in verse 8. The feelings in loving him, believing in him, echoes in our emotions as precious beyond anything this earth can provide, in all its treasures that it affords us in this lifetime. The joy that we can experience in the salvation, an eternal salvation given to us by God, outweighs anything, anything this world can provide. Can I hear a little amen?
Amen.
Amen. So what does this bring? How do we engage in this joy? How do we experience it to a deeper level? Well, some people dance. Some people smile. Some people sing. Some people laugh. Some people just simply enjoy. We enter into the joy of Christmas, I believe, in multiplicit different ways, according to our personality types, but more so it's kind of an entering in, a joining in way of celebration. So joy is entered into in the Christmas season, not simply in sitting and, you know, listening to a sermon, but more so engaging in activity. So walking around the lake, enjoying the lights, sitting around the Christmas tree and unwrapping gifts. Something small to point us again to the eternal gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Bethlehem and see that which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and baby who was lying in the manger. When those angels came and they proclaimed and heralded that great joy which was for all, those shepherds didn't just sit there and say, "Why? You know, that's something good. We better get on our Christmas attire here." You know? And boy, we better get out the pom-poms and the treasure. No, we got to go see. We got to go see this, they said. They didn't just sit in their seats. We got to go see and look upon this one. You look at the text that says in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things they had heard and seen, which were just as they have been told by the angels. Folks, have you entered in? Are you celebrating? Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
And what do you have?
Jesus!
Jesus!
Let's stand together.
receive God's benediction upon your hearts today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Would you pull out your bulletins for me this morning? Just a reminder of some of the things that are happening here in the church. We're so grateful this Christmas season to see our kids performing in different venues. This Saturday, yesterday, they performed over at Henderson Mall, and they were real troopers. I think there was 16 kids in all, or 17 kids in all that were actually in the choir, but many of them fell sick, so 11 of them weren't able to make it to Henderson. Six of them actually went to Henderson and actually continued the performance. Isn't that amazing? Our kids have done so well in way of pushing through, even with cold and flu season upon us, and the decimation even of our numbers here today shows a little bit of reflection of that cold and flu season we're going through right now. So thank God for our kids that have been real troopers in doing all this, and of course all the parents and leaders that have contributed so much to the children's choir performances. So thank you so much, parents. Thank you for your energy and your pushing through all the issues. And there are a lot of issues in getting the kids through all the practices and makeup and changes of clothing and all the materials that they use for their performances. Also, we know that we're having our small groups meeting, and different families are getting together with different ones to enjoy meals, enjoy celebrating this Christmas season. Do continue to do that. Look for other people in the church that you can kind of, hey, come on over. I don't know you so well. Let's come over to my place for a dinner, and let's get to know each other a little better. Do that during the Christmas season. It's such a great joy, and do enter in. Like the shepherds, right? It's not just a sitting down and looking and observing, but it's an entering in. And that gives us a more fullness of joy, doesn't it? So herein, we have some occasions to join. Today, we have, of course, our coffee time after the service. Then we have Lead Like a Shepherd, which is our Sunday school class continuing upstairs in the library, talking about the example of leadership. And then we also have Visiting Madison Care Center this next week. So we want to continue to visit our care homes. And if you want to join with that, you want to talk to Anthony. Also, there's flower arrangements that you can contribute to. There's a sign up for that, and it's posted in the foyer. Also, be mindful that we have a Christmas Eve service on the 24th. So in the evening at 7:30, we'll be meeting together and welcoming our other congregation to come and join with us. When we went around delivering Christmas cards yesterday at 1:30, we were knocking on doors, and Kimberly reminded me, Dad, you know, we should be inviting them to the Christmas Eve service. So each door I knocked on, I said, hey, we have a Christmas Eve service, 24th, come on out, 7:30. And of course, we gave them a map and some directions to the church. So thank you for contributing to our benevolent fund here in the church. It makes a great deal of difference to our community. Every year, we've been able to work alongside of affordable housing and give out 80 gift cards to people here in our community. Those gift cards contain $80. So when they get that gift card, I think, how many hugs did we receive, Wendy, as we went around? Quite a few of different people as they came to the door and said, oh, wow, this will really make our Christmas. We even had a lady running across the parking lot to us, engaging us, saying, oh, I see you're wearing a Christmas hat there, and are you from the church? And I really need a Christmas card this year because two of my relatives have passed away. My mother and my sister just recently passed away, and I'm just grieving so much, and I could certainly use a Christmas card this year. So I wrote her name down and her address, and I said, listen, we're going to give out all these Christmas cards, but if there's ones left over, we'll certainly come and visit you and give you a Christmas card. So that's the kind of need that's in our community. So thank you for giving towards a benevolent fund. Thank you for engaging with that. And also, we have Ed Roy's box outside. I haven't mentioned that a whole lot, but that's just sitting out here in the hallway underneath the table. You pull it out and you can put in gently used clothing that you would like to see donated to homeless people down on the east side. It's a great opportunity to not just give it to some of these other organizations. This goes directly to them. They don't have to pay for it. The clothing and whatever else we put in that box, Ed picks up and takes and just gives out to people that are in need in the downtown east side. So these kind of opportunities are afforded to us. I'm so happy to say through our budget that our benevolent fund has been topped up this year. Our missions budget has been topped up, but we are looking for two other budgetary things that are not coming to mind. Larry, what are those? General fund and building fund. Those two funds are needing, so if you're wanting to give to particular things, hit those two items. Also, you'll note here we have Pastor Thomas away. And also next week, our children's ministry team will be off. So if you have kids, they'll need to be in the service this next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're lighting the candle of love. Okay? So great opportunity for the kids to be in the service as we look towards celebrating on the 24th on that Christmas Eve service. May God bless you as you go into your weeks. May you enter into that joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please close in silent prayer and then be dismissed.